Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's L-O-N-E-S-T-A-R Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big.
Save big on everything for your next project now at Menards. Breathe easier with Best Air Ultimate Allergen Air Filters. They trap large airborne particles to keep allergens out of your home, and they last up to 90 days. Save big on all Best Air products at Menards and refresh your home today. View our selection of air filtration products on Menards.com. Plus, check out our weekly flyer and find great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Welcome into a Monday edition of Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Nick Cale, Braden Gall, Derek Mason, Marquise Munson with you here for the next 4 hours. You know, fellas, it's very interesting in sports talk radio, right? Like, you know, you get to football season and it's a grind. Not that our job is a grind compared to real jobs out there, but football season is like, you know, our back-to-school season in the retail world. It's like final exam season for professors. But then you get that bye week. And if you have an NFL team and a college team in your market, you kind of feel like, all right, it might be a slow couple of days going into the weekend.
You might take a Friday off.
You might take a Friday off if you have the Tito's flu, which we can get to later, you jerks.
Something burning in here?
It does smell like something's burning in
that's
here.
That's the heat.
That's how bad.
That's the heater. Yeah. Nice. Cool.
That tells you right there.
Spring Hill Heating and Cooling. Where are you at, man?
That tells you right there. No one turns on the heat. That tells you right there. No one turns on
the
heat.
Or that tells you the takes are going to be really hot today.
Yeah.
Well, I would think the latter.
Coming up at 2 o'clock.
I think the latter.
Okay.
Yeah, I ain't gonna lie, I got a little nervous in here. I started smelling something. I was like, oh boy, I think we need to
It smells like a chihuahua got stuck in the vent.
Yeah. Let me check this out.
Yeah, you go work on the heat.
Just go get out of here.
Yeah, we'll do the show. So you come out of you go into a weekend thinking you're not going to have much to talk.
Jesus. Sunday was to your point, Nick. Sunday was so nice.
I mean, it was great, but
had such a nice day yesterday. I don't think I watched football more than 5 minutes.
Oh, I watched everything.
That was theatrics.
Oh, so good.
But you go into a weekend with the Titans and the Vols both on a bye the same weekend, and you think, all right, we're not going to have much to talk about last week on Thursday and Friday. That was not the case. And then you come out of a bye thinking, man, we're not going to have much to talk about. That is not the case, because we've got so much to do today. We got the Titans and Kaepernick. We got the Predators. We've got the Tua stuff with Saban. So much to do. And that let's actually just begin right there with Tua and Nick Saban. I know you did the Saturday night show for ESPN. Why don't you walk us through quickly the Cliff Note version of what transpired late in that first half Saturday, and then we'll get to our takes.
Yeah, so obviously they're up 30. Alabama's up 35-7 on Mississippi State at the time. Tua's on the sideline. It looks like Mac Jones is warming up to go into the game. And, you know, there's a conversation. We don't know what was said. Nick Saban decides to put Tua back into the game. Now, I believe his explanation was he wanted him to get some two-minute drill experience, which is comical to me. And we'll get to that at some point in this. But then he goes out there and is rolling to his left and falls on his right hip. The official orthopedic surgeon for Alabama says that he will make a full recovery, but that he's out for the season this year. They had to reduce the hip, relocate it, since it was dislocated, relocate it, and it was reduced there. Then he went to the hospital. He's been awaiting further treatment. Again, this is the statement Saturday night from the Alabama team orthopedic surgeon, and that his season is finished. It could also mean his career in college is finished. It may impact his draft stock at this point because he's taken way too many hits over the last two years. To me, there's a lot of different questions here. Number one is, what does this do to Alabama and their chance to get into the playoff? I think it's a huge blow. What does it do to his NFL stock, which is going to be fascinating to watch develop over the course of the next 8 months? And number one for me is, why in the world did you start him in the first place? I think you have three really big reasons to not start Tua in this game. Number one is to keep Tua healthy for the Auburn game and potential playoff games. That is your number one priority. Number two, you can play some mind games with the committee and show the committee, hey, look, Tua really wasn't healthy against LSU. we shouldn't have played him, but we did anyway because it was LSU. And, man, if he had been healthy, maybe we could have beaten them. And number three, you need the committee to see Mac Jones. How good are you with Mac Jones? And you could play Mac Jones twice against Mississippi State and Western Carolina, probably win by 35 points anyway, and then you'd have a healthy rested Tua against Auburn on the road. I don't think you should have played him, not from the start. Not there's a huge problem with with him putting him back in the game with 2 minutes to go. That's a clear mistake, not because of hindsight, but because you had an injured player. I don't think you should have started him at all. So that's just my opinion. I know Tua wants to play.
Right.
I know Nick's competitive. I get all of the football guy stuff here. I get it. Everybody wants to play and be competitive. I don't think you should have played.
Let's take a listen. Here's Nick Saban heading into the locker room at halftime with ESPN sideline reporter Molly McGrath.
Coach, what can you tell us about Tua Tagovailoa?
Well, he hurt his hip, so I don't know anything else more than that. They took him in to look at him, so we'll see what's happening. That was going to be his last series. We were going to do 2 minutes before the half with him just for practice. And, you know, of course, we got to block him better so he doesn't get sacked, but too bad.
It looked like Mac Jones was warming up to Tua Lobby to stay in.
No. We were going to put Mac in, and then we said, we'll let Tua do 2 minutes before the half just for practice. And, you know, I don't worry about players getting hurt, but certainly don't want to see anybody get hurt, especially him.
All right, thank you, Coach. Right,
thank you.
All right, D-Mace, I know you were fired up Saturday. The text messages were coming flooding into my inbox. Your thoughts?
You guys know how much I like Nick Saban, because I have a sort of a personal relationship because he coached me for 2 years. So anytime I can speak glowingly of Nick Saban, I will, and I will defend him. To no ends. But this situation, it wasn't called for. It's not like they were playing Clemson. It's not like they were playing Georgia. It's not like they were playing Oklahoma. It's not like they were playing Ohio State. They were not playing a top-ranked team. This game was meaningless from this standpoint. There was nothing Tua can do that was going to cause them to win this game. Matt could have won this game for them. That's everybody knew it. This was the game he should have been resting after getting beat up by LSU. It was visible that this kid was limping around. Second half was even worse than the first half. This kid was limping around. The least you can say is this: Tua, we're going to save you for the Auburn game. We don't need you for this game. Let Mac play. We'll dress you, but, I mean, you're not playing unless it's an emergency. You are not setting foot on this field. But, no, you didn't do that. You allowed this kid to play. Sometimes you got to protect the kid from the kid, okay, or the player from the player. You had total control over this situation, Nick. Nobody else. And then you give this lame excuse. This is the lame, and this is what irks me, is that I'm watching one of the, I think it was ABC or ESPN, one of the halftime shows. I think the one with Joey Galloway.
And Jesse Palmer.
Jesse Palmer.
Yeah.
And Joey Galloway had the nerve. He sat there and had the nerve to try to defend that crap.
Yeah.
And what you call it? Like, no, you don't do that.
Yeah, the two of them went full first
exactly.
take.
Exactly. Like, you don't do that. I don't know why Joey Galloway had the audacity to try to defend what Nick Saban couldn't even get it out right. He knew he was wrong.
Yeah.
He knew exactly. He was fumbling over the whole thing. You want to throw him out there, practice 2 minutes? Practice? Practice? Serious, Nick Saban?
Well, I told you guys, their whole offense has been
exactly.
a two-minute drill all year.
This kid has been practicing 2 minutes for the last 2 years.
That's all he does.
Exactly.
They're never on the field for more than 2 minutes.
Why does he need an extra practice against Mississippi State?
Well, let me
I don't
like
get that.
See, it's
like,
35
I think,
to 7.
Yeah.
Yes.
But like, here's the thing, and Saban's dead wrong. Like, I think when you're Nick Saban and you want to take a player out, you can't allow a young kid, a competitive guy like Tua, to talk you back into going out there because he had no business of being out there. And then the halftime explanation is a joke. The two-minute drill, I mean, give me a break. But, like, here's the thing. Like, I feel like in this day and age of college football, like, he was out there. And by the way, was he limping a little bit? Yes. Was his mobility in question? Yes. But I think at the time of the injury, he was, what, 14 of 17 for 250 and two scores?
Oh, he was clearly very effective.
He was clearly effective, so it wasn't like his throwing ability was enamored. But, like, when I watch this, so the College Football Playoff Committee factors in margin of victory, style points. Mm-hmm. Like, they look at how impressive you are. Like, I feel like, here's the thing, if you didn't think Tua should have been out there, whether you're on Twitter, whether you have a platform or not, you should have said that. Like, it's easy to sit there and go to Twitter and say, oh, he should never have been playing. Well, was that your opinion? Was that documented? Yes. Was that publicized before?
I thought he was going to sit. After the LSU game, I even said, he should sit this game. There's no reason for him to play.
You were busy counting your shekels on Friday morning, but that's all we talked about on Friday was... I mean, like, we assumed he wasn't going to play.
Exactly.
We assumed he wasn't going to play. We said, there's no way that he's going to play. Like, this doesn't make any sense. It looks like Mac Jones is going to play. And, again, a 35-point win over Mississippi State with Mac Jones as your quarterback goes just as far with the committee as a 40-point win with Tua. It goes even further.
But do we think they win by 35 with Mac Jones?
Of course they do. Mississippi State is awful.
I agree, but I don't think Mac Jones is that good.
No, he's good enough to be the backup at Alabama. I know that a lot of quarterbacks have transferred from Alabama, so he's not like the premier five-star guy. But like all, you know, frat boy Bateman and Barnett, and like they all have the same name. They all sound like the same pledge class of like a fraternity, and they all left. And listen, they were big time recruits, and they all transferred out and whatever. And that is a problem in college football right now. If you took Jake Fromm, Justin Fields, Jalen Hurts, Trevor Lawrence off these teams, who's got a really good premier backup? And not many of them do because you don't keep two quarterbacks anymore. That's a problem in college football. But I think Mac Jones would start for probably, you know, half, if not more than that, of Power 5 football team. So he's a pretty good player.
Sure.
I think they destroy Mississippi State with Mac Jones. I know that he only had four drives in the second half and they only scored 3 points, but they really weren't trying to do much.
No.
Like, I think that you can beat Western Carolina and Mississippi State with Mac Jones. The idea, again, playing mind games with the committee is okay. It's important. Giving them a chance to look at Mac Jones is okay. It's important. Number one, though, is to have your superstar healthy for the Auburn game so that when the committee looks at you, you look like your best self for the committee, right? Mm-hmm. Now, if you add Raekwon Davis to this discussion, arguably the best defensive player on the team who appears to be out, I'm sorry if you're a committee member and you were on the edge about Alabama. You were on the fence about Alabama. And Alabama's sitting there and you're going, man, I think they're one of the four best teams, but I don't love their resume. That's basically what every committee member is probably saying in that room. They're a really good football team. Mm-hmm. I don't want to play them. But I don't like their resume. Now you don't have your best offensive player and maybe your best defensive player. That is the excuse the committee needed to say we're not putting you into the playoffs. That's it. Because I know people want to say, like, oh, Cardale Jones. Look at Cardale Jones for Ohio State in 2014. They still got in. He went 59-0 on Wisconsin. That's fine. They were going up against Baylor and TCU trying to get into the playoff. They weren't going up against Penn State and Georgia and Oklahoma and Oregon and Utah. This is one of the best seasons of college football I can remember at this stage of the year. You need your best offensive player and defensive player to make the case to the committee, and I don't think the committee puts them in now. Yeah. I think they look at Alabama and they go, well, they were on the edge, but now they don't have their best player. There's no way they're as good without their best player.
Sure. No, it's common sense. It's just basic logic. But here's the other thing, too, with, you know, resting him against Mississippi State, because then you certainly would not play him the next week against Western Carolina, which is who they'll have this Saturday. Mm-hmm. But there, we all agree, right? They were going to have to go into Auburn and boat race Auburn. I don't think that's, like, logistically possible.
Yeah,
even with Tua, I don't think they were going to go in there and crush Auburn. I think Auburn's got a legit chance to beat Tua.
Auburn's a really good team.
I think they would have beaten Auburn by more than 10 points, and that would have been enough of the committee. Knowing who Auburn is, what type of defense they have, how they play LSU.
Georgia only beat them by 7.
Exactly. How they play Georgia. I think Alabama goes in there and win by 10 points. Because Alabama with Tua, that offense is just explosive. They're hard to stop. Now, they might give up some points, but they're hard to stop as an offense. So I still think they would have beaten Auburn by 10 points. That would have been enough for me with a somewhat healthy Tua to sway the committee somewhat. But you didn't need
these
two games.
You had to have him in that game, though, to show that.
Exactly.
Because, again, look at Auburn's defense. They gave up 23 to LSU in Baton Rouge.
Yeah.
They gave up 21 to Georgia at home. And they gave up, I think, 24 to Florida, their best three games, the games they've lost. All three teams are top 12 teams. All three offenses are pretty highly efficient, highly rated offenses, and you kept them all underneath 25 points. Nobody keeps LSU under 25 points. Mm-mm. So Auburn is a dangerous team. Now, Auburn could win the game, probably. I wouldn't be shocked. And then, of course, that ends Alabama's chances altogether. So
All right, 615-737-1025 is the number. We would love to get your calls, your reaction. Is Saban 100% to blame? Should Tua not have played? Was it the right decision to play him, but you should have pulled him before the two-minute drill? Where do you guys stand on this? 615-737-1025, because it was hands down the biggest story of the day in college football on Saturday. Arguably the biggest story of the weekend between that and Colin Kaepernick. 615-737-1025. We will come back, take your calls, and then we'll get to the Kaepernick stuff from the weekend, including your Tennessee Titans, one of eight teams that had a representative there to see Colin Kaepernick. We're back after this here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. 6:18, welcome back into Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. We are live from the Wholesaling Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com. Here's what we have coming up on the show today. Corey Curtis for the Titans, the News 2 at 7 o'clock. Aaron Suttles covers Alabama from The Athletic. He'll join us at 8 o'clock. And then we have Darren McFarland joining us at 9 to talk all things Nashville Predators. So thinking about this, and we're talking about Tua and the Saban issue from over the weekend, the injury. His career at Alabama is now finished. Your buddy Mark Ross from Athlon Sports said, what about writing at a column where you look at the best quarterbacks of the Nick Saban era? And I thought that was interesting because you would think hands down it's Tua.
It's not even close.
It's not even close. Stats, NFL trajectory. And I was thinking about this, and I think I mentioned this to you guys last week, where, yeah, Tua's got a national championship, but it was in relief of Jalen Hurts in the Georgia game 2 years ago after he came in after halftime. How crazy is it now that Tua's career is over? And in 2 years as the starter, he's going to have walked away. Yeah, he could certainly end up being a top five pick, which I think many people believe he will be. He's got all these accolades, but as a starter in 2 years, no Heisman Trophy, no national championship, and he's been the talk of the sport for 2 years.
the no Heisman Trophy line is just a funny one to hear because it's like, oh, disappointing, didn't win the Heisman. Like, you know how hard it is to win the Heisman? Didn't he finish second last year?
Yeah.
I'm not buying it.
And this is not meant to be like a knock against him. I'm just like,
yeah.
It almost seems like his career was too good for him not to come away with any hardware.
Well, I mean, he got a national championship trophy and he got an SEC championship trophy. So, in two separate years. So, I don't know. It's hard to argue that he didn't have a successful career. Did everyone expect three Heismans and three Natties? I mean, maybe, but that's not the way the world works. Yeah, I think an SEC championship or a national title game that he comes in relief down two touchdowns to lead your team from victory. I think his legacy was cemented in the first half of football that he really played meaningfully against Georgia in the national title game. I don't think anything he had to do after that was sort of, you know, he had house money after that comeback in that game and that overtime touchdown to win the national championship. I don't, they came back and won the SEC title the next year. I know Jalen had to do that in the second half in Atlanta. And then he wins another playoff game against Oklahoma. I don't know. I think Tua's legacy is pretty well cemented.
Yeah, I mean, it's unfortunate that, you know, his career has taken a major setback. But, you know, if you look at him, he can still arguably go down as one of the greatest quarterbacks in college football because of what his resume, what he did, his projection as a pro. It's just unfortunate, man. If he can't play again, it becomes, you know, a 30 for 30. It does. It becomes the, you know, what could have been story of Tua Tagovailoa. It angers me because you had an opportunity to take this kid out. He had no reason, and no one can convince me. No one can convince me. Those dummies that say, "Oh, he needed 2 minutes." Why? Explain to me seriously why you need Joy Galloway. Why did he need 2 minutes? You tell me.
Picking on Joy Galloway today.
Because it was just the most asinine comment. It was in a situation like that. He didn't need 2 minutes. Everybody, even Nick Saban in his explanation to have, he knew he didn't need it. This is one of these situations where it should change Nick Saban as a head coach. It should. It really should, because what you've done is you've changed the fortune of a young man. You have literally, if he can't play anymore, you have changed the fortune of a young man because you decided that he needed 2 minutes in a meaningless game. You were winning 35-7. He can do 2 minutes, you know, the next day. They didn't need Mississippi State. He said it was practice. If that's the case, you could put them out on air and do 2 minutes the next day. It was just one of those moves where Nick Saban just, he wasn't being a coach. He really wasn't being a coach at the time.
Real quickly, just for historical context with Tua, his statistics, just relative to the history of the conference, at 10.9 yards per attempt, he's the most efficient quarterback in SEC history. Number two is Tim Tebow at 9.3. That's a yard and a half more than any other quarterback in the history of the SEC, yards per attempt. He's the number one rated quarterback from a quarterback rating standpoint, 199. That's ahead of Tim Tebow at 170, so he's 29 points higher than any other quarterback in SEC history. He's got 87 passing touchdowns right now, which is one behind Tim Tebow for fifth all-time in SEC history.
And he only played 2 years.
And he's only started two seasons, which means if he would have finished this year, he would have passed Chris Leak, Tim Tebow, and Peyton Manning for fourth place all-time in SEC history in touchdowns, and then would still have another season to go, and didn't start his freshman year. So statistically, you look at Tua and you go, it's just not even close. He is the most efficient, most explosive passer in the history of the SEC, and it's not really close.
No.
Like, it's not really close.
Is there any chance, because this guy, look, I don't know if you guys saw his social media post last night as he's sitting in a hospital bed awaiting surgery today.
Playing the...
he's like rocking out, playing like a banjo or something. Like, you would have thought he was living like the greatest life of all time.
Ukulele.
Is ukulele. Yeah. Like, he clearly marches to a different beat, because if that was me, like, I would be the most pissed off human being on the planet that my season was over. Is there any chance, and I ask you this because I think he's a different cat, could he come back for one more year?
I wouldn't. There's a chance.
Nobody's going to advise him to do so, right?
There's a chance. I'm not going to say he can't come back. Now, will he be the same player? He won't be the same
player. But, like, why risk it with all the money on the line?
I mean, he can come back.
I mean, that's the question.
Nobody, I'm telling you, if someone drafts him, it's going to be late, unless someone pulls a Dallas Cowboys and figure, you know, okay, he can. You know, they're going to do their due diligence, and they're going to talk to just about every doctor in the world, every specialist in the world in regards to hips. Does he have a chance to come back and at least be 80% of what he was?
Well, they've already said they expect him to make a full recovery.
Well, if he makes the full recovery, then, you know, there's going to be – will he get drafted in the first round? I would be surprised.
Oh, see, I still think he's top five.
But I think someone drafts him early in the second round.
What if he fell to John Robinson, middle of the first round?
I don't think they're I don't know if they're going to take. You know what? Let me rephrase that.
Yeah, please do.
They might, because
I don't think he falls out of the first round.
Because if they take him, they can legitimately let him rest for 2 years or a year or two.
If you're John Robinson in the Titans, and let's just say they're picking 15th, just for the sake of this discussion, and he's there at 12, if you don't move up to take him, I need to live in a world. Let me be selfish radio host for a moment. Mm-hmm. I need to live in a world where you draft Tua Tagovailoa and you sign Colin Kaepernick in free agency. You want to make the Tennessee Titans exciting and relevant and have people talk about them?
There's no question about that.
There's your solution.
That's 100% how it would go.
Of course, it won't happen.
I don't think you trade up to get him for a number. And here's the issue. Even if he's fully healthy, there are still questions of why do you take so many hits? Mm-hmm. Why do you hold onto the football too long? Well, you know, like, there's no questions about him as an individual, right? As a person, he is what you want out of a starting quarterback. But we just had that here in this city. And people want results first. And so I think at 6'1", 215, you know, that size, like, it's if he's 6'4", 235, and he takes hits like this, it's different. But he's not that size. He's 6'1", 220, and he's a little bit smaller. He's a little bit more Aaron Rodgers-ish than he is, you know, the big, huge Ryan Tannehill guy. And so I think, again, I think, Derek, you've said this for the longest time, there are a couple of, even if he's fully healthy, there are a couple of questions he's going to need to prove as a prospect. And that, again, I think two of them are he takes too many hits and he holds onto the ball too long. Left-hander, I don't know if I care as much about that, you know. I don't know. I mean, Derek, you can maybe speak to, is a left-handed quarterback have a disadvantage of some sort in the NFL? I don't know. There's not a lot of them. Mm. So,
left-handers to me are like left-handed pitchers. You know, if you have a good one, you you ride with them because, you know, you don't typically that left side, you know, that you have that left tackle and that's your premier guy. Now you see the, because typically the right side of your line is not that. He's a good player, but he's not the left tackle. Well, if I have a left-handed quarterback, now, you know, there are things that I can do that I couldn't do with a right-hand quarterback. I think left-hand quarterbacks are, once you get used to the ball thrown, the way his ball spins, because it spins counter to what a right-hander does, how the right-hander throws the ball. Once you get used to it, man, I think left-handed quarterbacks are like left-handed pitchers, man. They are a commodity. If you have a good one, man, you just stick with them. I mean, you could ride them for a long time. I mean,
but you better be good, right?
Yeah, you need to be a good left. It's like a left hand. You need to be. If you're a left hand pitcher in the major leagues, man, they love you.
Here and they get paid a ton of money. Exactly. Here's a couple of quotes from some NFL evaluators anonymously about Tua. Quote: Yes, the injury will be a major factor. It will be based on the team doctor's recommendation to the GM. Period. So you know that's essentially saying, hey, we love the guy, but if the guy's not healthy, we're not touching him. The other one here is, quote, if he's on pace to be back for next season, I think he's going to be fine, another scout said, quote, and this is from Monday Morning Quarterback, and all it takes is one team to take a chance on him, example, Jalen Smith. So yeah. I don't think he falls out of the first round, but I don't think he's in top five consideration anymore. If he decides to go. Now, he could also come back. The decision there is, do you risk further injury for the chance to prove that you can come back from an injury? I mean, that's the equation.
Here's the kind of, the argument for coming back is you're not going to get, you wouldn't get touched as much in college football because obviously Alabama's line is superior over 95% of the teams they play. And the only thing you have to do is just get rid of the football. Don't hold on to the football.
I was going
to
say, why does he keep getting hit then?
Just throw the – because he holds on to it and he's trying to make
the play. Because he's always trying to make the spectacular.
Exactly. Just – if you can get it into his head, just
– hit the check down.
Just hit the check down and we'll move. He should never really get hit in college football because 90-something percent of the time, Alabama has the best offensive line going against a okay to subpar defensive
line. And the best receivers.
Exactly.
You know what? I redact my statement on Tua to the Titans based on getting hit with offensive line play. He can't come here. No, Big Rodge will get him killed. Taylor Lewan will be getting flagged left and right. It'll be a debacle. All right, well, that was one story. Colin Kaepernick is another story. The Titans were involved. We'll get to that other big story from Saturday. Coming up next here on Morning Drive on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Back in here live on a Monday edition of Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Be listening in the 8 o'clock hour today, as we have a pair of WWE Monday Night Raw tickets to give away for Bridgestone Arena coming up on Monday, December the 2nd. So the big story of the day Saturday in the college ranks was Tua Tagovailoa. In the pro ranks, it was Colin Kaepernick. Now, Colin Kaepernick, of course, we discussed this whole story and the debacle between he and the NFL and, you know, jumping the gun and, you know, miscommunications and not agreeing to this. So Saturday, Colin Kaepernick was supposed to work out at the Atlanta Falcons facility, and there were supposed to be in the range of 24 to 25 NFL franchises. Well, things transpired. There were disagreements between both parties. It ends up getting pushed 1 hour later and to a different location, resulting in only 8 of, I believe, 25 teams.
So where do you guys fall on the move, first of all? Because the NFL had set up a set of guidelines. Their own camera crew, no media, 25 teams reportedly were going to be there. This was at the Falcons facility with professional, everything. They were going to allow Colin Kaepernick to bring his own receivers. They were going to allow him to have footage of the workout and give him give Nike, I believe, who is also a part of this equation, wanting to shoot a commercial, give them access to the footage as well. And then they wanted him to sign a waiver that said, unless if you don't get employment, you cannot sue us, which is sort of a stupid thing all around. I don't think it's fair for either side to demand that someone get a job. I think that's silly. I'm not sure I would have signed it if I'm Colin. I'm not sure I would have presented it if I'm the NFL. I think it looks bad for everybody that it got moved. I think it looks bad on Colin. I think it looks bad on the NFL. It just looks like a total cluster.
You know, I feel bad for Kaepernick because I want to see this guy in the league. I clearly think he's good enough to be in the league. But sometimes I just feel like you have to bite your tongue and you have to just swallow your ego for a moment. from the sheer standpoint of basic math, he went from 25 teams looking at him to 8. He lost 2/3 of the evaluators that were going to be there by what transpired on Saturday. Like, I don't know if he's going to get an opportunity to be in the league. And I think he deserves to be in the league.
He wasn't going to get an opportunity anyway. Let's not kill ourselves about this, man. I mean, the NFL set it up exactly the way they wanted it set up. They knew he was going to pull out of that workout the minute they sent the redaction and the sort of they redid the whole waiver thing. They knew exactly what he was going to do. So let's not fool ourselves right here, man. I mean, let's call a spade a spade. This is what I get tired of, man. It's like people want to, you know, dance around and not call it the way it is. Again, my mother always said, call a spade a spade. I don't care if it's me or whoever. Call it and then let's move forward. The NFL was completely wrong. I don't blame Colin Kaepernick. I don't blame his representative. If you have a lawyer, a guy that you're paying probably $400-$500 an hour to, he is supposed to read over the whole thing. And if there's a line, a word in a contract, I've dealt with them. If there's a word or a line in a contract that changed, it could be one word that changes the whole contract. Mm-hmm. I'm not signing it. I've been through it before. Change that word, I exit out, and then I'll sign a contract. Because legally, if we go to court, you can use that one word out of 5 million words. There's one word in there you can use, and you can win a case. So you know what? Cross that out, and now I will sign it. The NFL knew exactly what it was doing. Why don't anybody just call it how it? I love the NFL.
But see, I don't. I hate the NFL.
I mean, I love it because they gave me an. The NFL is a good entity, I believe.
I disagree with that. But
it gives guys an opportunity.
They do a lot of things.
They give guys an opportunity. But it's just like any other big business. They're looking out for themselves.
But here's the thing with this whole. We said this whole PR stunt thing, right? Uh-huh. And like, we've been critical of the NFL for it. And it's amazing to me that they're as powerful and as dominant as they are, considering all the bungling mistakes they make. But there's got to be somebody in the NFL office that says, look, clearly the public is going to think this is a PR stunt on our part. We can't go through this. Like, we got to be smarter and be ahead of this, right?
Yeah.
No, we're not. We're dumb.
Well,
you know why?
Dumb.
We're dumb. Because you know what people are going to do? The NFL knew exactly what people were going to do. They were going to side with the NFL. Not because of anything. The only reason they're siding with the NFL is because of this. Kneeling and standing up. They're not seeing anything else. People are not seeing anything else but Colin Kaepernick. No. So the NFL knows that it can do whatever it wants to. And if it looks, if whatever's in that contract states to me that, man, I'm not signing this because if I do, I'm waiving all my rights. People are not looking at that.
It wasn't waiving his rights
to sue the NFL if he doesn't get a job. Exactly. So I'm not signing it.
But I also I'm with you. I wouldn't expect him to sign it. I also think it's a stupid waiver for the NFL to put out. It doesn't make any sense on either side. Here's the number one issue on this. The NFL screwed this all up from the beginning. They should not have announced a single word of this until every detail was finalized.
Yeah, it's true.
If every detail is finalized and buttoned up and you present the public with a situation that both you and Colin have agreed on, then nobody's at fault. But the NFL didn't do it all. They didn't have all their T's crossed and all their I's dotted. They had this. They gave him 2 hours on a Tuesday to decide whether or not he was going to do it. And I talked to two people that were there on Saturday. They said he looks the part of an NFL quarterback. He's clearly one of the best 64 quarterbacks in the country right now, or in the planet, or whatever you want to call it. Do they think he can start right now? No. Everyone seems to believe that this is about next year. But everyone's on a replacement-level quarterback right now. Half the league is. And the spread offense is more popular than it's ever been before. I think there's genuine interest in him for the first time ever. But the teams needed cover. This is exactly what we talked about on Wednesday last week. The teams needed cover from the NFL to put this on. So if we are to believe that 25 teams are there, I don't like all the conditions either for Colin's side of this. If I'm one of Colin's representatives, I say, I don't like all this stuff. But the NFL did give him a lot of concessions. They said, you can bring your own receivers. You'll have access to the video footage. He wanted it open to the media, so he did it at a different location. Here's my only question for Colin's side of this, because I'm with you, Derek, on the NFL. I think they screwed up a lot of things in this. But they were making an effort, apparently. That's if we're to believe what the NFL says, which take that for what it's worth. My one question to Colin on this eventually is you are going to have to make some compromises at some point. You are not, if the number one priority in your life is to play football, that is the number one goal of your life, more than anything else in the world that you want to do. If that is the case, eventually you are going to have to accept that you cannot call every shot. The NFL is bigger than any one player. It always has been. It always will be. So at some point, that both sides are wrong in this.
No, like, no, both sides are not.
Like, I support Colin in general.
Both sides are not wrong in
but
this.
But he's got his new shoe he's putting out.
Both
he's
sides,
got his,
it's not. For you to,
you
for you to say,
have
hold
to, you're going to have to make compromises
for you
if you want
to
play the NFL.
For you to sit here and say both sides are wrong, damn it, that is wrong. Colin Kaepernick is not wrong. Okay, the NFL is wrong for putting that line in the contract.
I'm not disagreeing with that.
But what I'm trying to figure out, why is both sides wrong?
Because if he wants to do it so badly, because he said in his post game, listen to me, in his little interview there, in those little scrum with his lawyer and his agent and a few media people and some fans of his, he said, "I'll interview with anyone, anywhere, anytime." I'm like, really? If that's the case, then you had an opportunity to do that today, and you chose not to. And again, I'm not faulting him for choosing not to, but if you want to do something bad enough, if somebody offers me a job in New York to go be on the – you don't think I'm on a plane tomorrow on my own dime to go get
but
that
if,
job?
But
no
if, but
to
no,
you guys.
No, no, no. But if they put in that contract, you can do all that. But you can't see your family.
Well,
you can't see your family
sure,
for a year. And you can't talk to him. So you want this job that bad. What are you going to say? I can't. I want to take it, but I can't take it. Again.
I don't think telling me I can't talk to see my kids is the same as.
But that's what I'm saying is that it doesn't. To you, that might be small. Okay? I've always been told this. Just because it's small to you doesn't mean it's small to the other person.
I'm not saying it's small.
When someone says they were hurt by something I said or something I did, I am going to take heart to it because my thing is, maybe I didn't think it was that bad, but if you think it's bad, then okay, I'm sorry. So I am sympathizing with you. I'm sorry. Just because it's small to me doesn't mean it should be small to you. If you think it's big, then okay, I'm going to think it's big. I'm sorry. I never said no more or never do it again. Same thing with Colin Kaepernick. Just because they think it's small, it's big for him. This is his life. You're telling me, oh, well, I'm going to put this in the contract and it might be small to everybody else, but if Colin Kaepernick thinks and his representative thinks that it's giving up a lot of rights of his, then who am I to say that was small? I'm like,
again,
if that's what he believes.
I'm not saying that.
If that's what he believes and he thinks that was unfair for the NFL to do it, then so big. The NFL shouldn't have done it. I don't think Colin's wrong.
Right. What I'm saying is that Colin will have to accept, right or wrong, that he is going to have to understand that he cannot call every shot in this.
But what I'm
because
saying,
the NFL
knows.
Right or wrong, is bigger than everybody else.
But the NFL knows what it's doing. The NFL knows what it's doing. It could have took out that redaction, whatever it was, it could have took it out and just put a regular standardized waiver.
He wanted full media. He wanted full media. They didn't because no other player at any point during any point of their career interviews. It's official combine protocol to not have media around for the interviews and for the individual workouts, like the team meetings and stuff. Like they're trying to follow most of their rules while also trying to also go out of their way to help Colin, which is we got to give cover to these teams so that we can do this workout. The NFL screwed up a lot of things. There's no question the NFL screwed this up a lot. They did. At some point, and I know it's unpopular with you, Derek, and it's going to be unpopular for people that are pro-Colin, which is me. I'm pro-Colin. I think he deserves a job. I believed in what he was standing up for or kneeling down for. But at some point, he has to acknowledge that he has to compromise. If you want the job bad enough,
I'm not compromising for a damn thing. You compromise for that.
Either.
You're compromised for anything in your life. I'm not compromising for a damn thing. NFL, you want to put that in there? I'm gonna go take my workout someplace else. It's not like I want to be in the NFL, but I'm not selling my damn soul to the devil to be in the NFL. I'm not saying the NFL is the devil, but I'm just saying as
analogy, it was definitely the devil.
But I am not. No. You can have it. I'm not selling my soul.
Then maybe you don't want it bad enough.
That's just the way it is.
That's fine.
You will hear from Colin Kaepernick on the other side. Also, the eight teams that attended Kaepernick's workout Saturday in the Atlanta area. That was the Chiefs, the Jets, the Eagles, the Titans, the Bills, the 49ers, the Redskins, and the Detroit Lions. You'll hear from Kaepernick post-workout when we come back. And then also, if you're going to say it doesn't matter in the spring, well, then maybe it really shouldn't matter in the fall in regards to Colin Kaepernick's workout. Back after this on Morning Drive.
let me start by saying I appreciate y'all all coming out. That means a lot to me. Our biggest thing with everything today was making sure we had transparency in what went on. We weren't getting that elsewhere, so we came out here. It's important that y'all are here. Y'all been attacked for the last 3 years. Y'all continue to be attacked. We appreciate what y'all do. We appreciate you being here today. We appreciate the work you do for the people and telling the truth. That's what we want in everything. I've been ready for 3 years. I've been denied for 3 years. We all know why I came out here, showed it today in front of everybody. We have nothing to hide. So we're waiting for the 32 owners, the 32 teams, Roger Goodell, all of them to stop running. Stop running from the truth. Stop running from the people. We're out here. We're ready to play. We're ready to go anywhere. My agent, Jeff Nally, is ready to talk to any team. I'll interview with any team at any time. I've been ready. I'm staying ready. And I'll continue to be ready. And to all the people that came out here today to support, I appreciate y'all. I love y'all. To the people that aren't here, I'm thinking of you. I appreciate you supporting from where you are. We'll continue to give you updates as we hear. We'll be waiting to hear from Roger Goodell, the NFL, the 32 teams. We'll let you know if we hear from them. Ball's in their court. We're ready to go.
All right, so that was Colin Kaepernick Saturday after his workout, his little post-game presser there. And
seemed like some friendly confines there.
A little bit.
For sure.
Yeah, I've always thought this, like, people are stubborn, right? And with the Kaepernick issue, clearly most people are stubborn. If you're pro-Kaepernick, you don't want to hear anything other than pro-Kaepernick. If you're anti-Kaepernick, you know, you think the guy's the worst human being to ever walk the face of the earth, and there's very few people that are in between and willing to hear both sides, as there is with many issues in this world. But, like, here's my issue with this. I see Mike Freeman from Bleacher Report, and I see Mike Florio from Pro Football Talk, and they've been adamantly pro-Kaepernick supporters, which is great. I am as well. But when you come away with the workout in t-shirt and shorts saying, oh, he's clearly ready and that's elite-level arm talent, well, let me just call out the hypocrisy here. Tell me if you guys agree with this. So in the spring, when college guys have their pro days, we're told, but don't get too carried away. It's just t-shirts and shorts. It's all organized, orchestrated activity. You're supposed to look great. But then Kaepernick does it Saturday, and all of a sudden it's like, you know, he clearly hasn't missed a beat, and he'd walk back today in the NFL and light up the league.
The difference is guys in spring and pro days have never played in the NFL, and Colin has a body of work to show people that he was talented enough to play in the NFL, get to a Super Bowl, have a couple years where he was a guy, even though his winning percentage was terrible. On a Chip Kelly team, mind you, right?
Let's be fair.
But he had, I think it was 16 touchdowns, four picks. You know, everybody knows the numbers, that his numbers were fairly good. Again, I talked to the Falcons, ESPN Nation reporter. I talked to Jim Trotter, who's a Hall of Fame voter who knows football as well as any human being on the planet. And he said the guy looks like he is one of the 32, one of the 64 best quarterbacks in the world and belongs on a roster, which I don't think is that controversial of a stance. Now, I don't think it's necessarily based on a pro day where, you know, like, I don't think it's necessarily based on this workout. It's just sort of, oh, he still looks like the same player. He's going to be rusty. It's going to take him some time. But he's still totally capable of playing in the league. And right now you look around the league and you see guys literally being signed off the street to play quarterback. It is a bit of a, hey, why isn't this guy playing? So I am on the Kaepernick side of this. I think he did get quote-unquote blackballed, even if it's not officially blackballed. You know, unofficially, whatever. And I think it's outrageous that you are offended that someone exercises their rights as an American citizen to peaceful protest. I am offended at that. But I'm not going to get worked up about it. You move on. I just think this whole thing could have been handled better by both sides. I think the NFL did a lot of things that screwed this up. The NFL should not have announced it. The Titans, I don't see the Titans having a need for him. If you're planning on bringing Tannehill back, if the price tag isn't too much, the Titans, from what I understand, were there, had a representative there. I don't think he's – this to me, the other thing I've been told is this is all for next year. None of this is for, like – he's not going to step onto a football field this weekend or next weekend and help somebody.
Do we genuinely think, though, the Titans have interest? Yeah, they send somebody there, but no quarterback under contract next year. You almost have to be there by default or else you look totally lost.
I don't know if they have legitimate – them going there has any legitimacy to him possibly being on the team. I don't know.
It's all lower level scouts.
But you gotta go there. I think if you're in a position that the Tennessee Titans are in or any other team where you have no quarterback under contract, and the quarterbacks you do have, you still have questions about, and you are going to draft a young guy. I think you have to go and look. If it's any quarterback, you got to go and look, and especially one that has had some success in the National Football League. You go and look at him, and you see if he's ready to play, and you kind of take your notes, and you sort of file it away, and it's one of those things where we will revisit it again after the season. Once we make, he will be a part of our evaluation on quarterbacks. He will be in a pile with, you know, a handful of college guys and a handful of pro guys, and the guy we got on our team already, Tannehill, because I don't think Marcus will be back, but Tannehill. So you have to go down there and you have to see what he looks like. Now, you're not making this decision based upon, you know, you're not making this decision based on this season. You're making it based on next season. So, I mean, I don't see anything wrong with them sending someone. I don't think they sent. So I think one of the scouts, like I said last week, I think one of the scouts was in the area. So they said, you know what? Stop by the workout.
Yeah.
See how he looks. Report back to us, and we'll go from there. Let's not make this a big thing.
It's what you said last week. All the NFL GMs, the top people, are all on a plane somewhere going to a game somewhere.
Exactly.
All the college scouts on Saturdays, the top college scouts, have to be at college games to scout the players for the draft. So you're getting a third-string scout at best from all of these teams that are going to go look at this guy. But I think you're doing your diligence. I think you have to go look at him if you're the Titans and you don't have a quarterback on your roster for next year. You go look at him and you say, okay, not for us, or okay, maybe he's got a chance. Hey, Arthur, here's what I saw. Do you think he fits into the scheme? You know, you do your diligence and you move on. You know, if you've got Tannehill and a rookie on your roster, you don't need Kaepernick.
But here's what I say to those that, you know, for some reason think that Colin Kaepernick doesn't deserve an opportunity to play in the NFL because of what you may deem patriotic. Excuse me. He hasn't done anything wrong. He hasn't beat his wife. Again, I said this last week. He hasn't beat his wife. He hasn't ran away from eluded cops. He hadn't killed dogs. He hadn't done all these horrible things that guys have done. And they're still playing on Sunday. And you root for them. And you scream about giving them second chances. Because I do. I mean, I will admit. And you guys know, give guys second chances. See if they worked out whatever demons they had. See if, and if they haven't, then no more. You can't be in the league. We've given you your opportunity. You blew it. Can't be in the league anymore. Give a guy a second chance. Okay, I get that. I'm one of those guys. But there are guys in the NFL were in the NFL that have killed dogs. There are guys that are in the NFL now that have beat their girlfriends or their wives, and you're cheering for them. But you demonize a man that chose to kneel because he saw others being taken advantage of. He saw others being beat, killed. He saw the injustices. But you hate him. You don't want him to have a job. Think about that. While you're driving on, just sitting, just think about that. You would cheer for Tyreek Hill. But you a dog cuss a Colin Kaepernick and say don't let him back in the NFL. How much of an idiot are you? Yeah, I said it. How much of an idiot are you?
No, I can't disagree.
It baffles me. And again, I am all about second chances. I mean, I'm glad. Hopefully Tyreek Hill has gotten over all that stuff. And he's gotten a second chance or maybe even a third chance.
Yeah,
my watch said, sorry, I couldn't hear what you said.
The watch is right. Tyreek Hill has already had too many chances.
Exactly, but there are a lot of people out there that are saying Colin Kaepernick doesn't need another chance. And it just baffles me, man. Well, it really does.
I think it's because we're so far past that now.
Like, I know,
we're
it's
not even the
he's
issue.
He's one of the better quarterbacks out there. I'm not saying he's a starter.
No, don't be surprised if the Philadelphia Eagles signed him. They were one of the eight there. And if there's a team that's been willing to take chances despite media backlash, they did it with Vic.
And you got some Super Bowl cachet.
But that's
sitting
what
on the
that
shelf
was
behind
with
you.
Andy Reid, though.
But it's still the same owner. Jeffrey Lurie had to sign off on it. So,
yeah. I think one tweet from one person sent this into the political storm that it is, and it would not have been that way. I think it would have been a normal, respectful discussion. Because again, I don't think it's. I'm not going to sit here and say, like, oh, you're an idiot. I disagree with your opinion if you don't like the protest, but you cannot disagree with the Constitution of the United States and the Bill of Rights, which tells you you have a right to peacefully protest in this country. And it is a uniquely American trait that very few other countries offer their citizens. We get it because we founded ourselves on those principles. But that's gone now. All that's not even a part of this discussion anymore. This is about taking sides and is the NFL wrong? Is Colin not compromising? Like, all that part of the story is so long gone that it's like we lost sight of it almost the week that it happened.
I'm not saying that you're an idiot the only reason I say that you're an idiot is because if you believe that Tyreek Hill deserves a second chance after what he did, but you think Colin Kaepernick doesn't, that's why I think you're crazy. Now, I call it what it is, hypocritical, idiot, whatever. That's for those that think Tyreek Hill shouldn't be in the NFL and Colin Kaepernick should be in there. I'm not talking to you because I think you're not hypocritical. You're thinking neither one of them should be in. But if you think Tyreek Hill should be in and then Colin Kaepernick should be out, something's wrong with your thinking.
Coming up next, our buddy Corey Curtis from News 2 will join us. We'll get to the Titans, the AFC South, and the AFC as a whole. The Titans did not play this weekend. A few things went in their favor. A few things, not so much. Corey coming up next here on Morning Drive.
Hey, everybody. Lady Luck here. And we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now, all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on FinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to FinQuest.com. Get yourself a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.